Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be back. And I had a good trip. I got to see my grandson. That's a very important. I also got to see my daughter who lives in Des Moines, Iowa. So I was very, very happy to see her. So I'm back and happy to be here. I'd like to remind you of our Vacation Bible School, which is going to be two-day sessions. June 21 and 22 is the first session, and June 23 and 24 is the second session. And in both sessions, we're going to be studying Numbers 21, 4 through 9, which is Israel groaning and God sending serpents and Moses lifting up a bronze serpent, and all they have to do is look and they're healed. And then the second is John 3, 14 through 16, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus says, "As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up." And so John 3, 14, 15, and 16. So the reason I'm telling you this is I'm hoping that you pray, and that you pray specifically. So as of yesterday, I was told we had 60 people, 60 children signed up. So please pray. Let's stand for the call to worship. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from Isaiah 57. For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is Holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry. For then they would faint away because of me, the very people I have created. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them and hid my face in anger, yet they kept on in their willful ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those who far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like a tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Let us pray. Our Father and God, as we meditate upon your word, may we meditate on your grace and mercy, how you in your great love have plucked us from the mire, and that you have set us upon a rock that is Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you that you have revealed these things to us, and we ask that we would be humble and continually offer up praise and thanks for that which you have worked in us by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. And from Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that we have free access to your throne of mercy and grace. And that free access is through the shed blood of your Son, and that we come in the power of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to call you Father. As we come, Father, we have many burdens upon our souls, each of us with some common burdens and some individual. And we know that we are to cast all our care upon you, for you do care for us. So we ask that we would be willing to give up those things that we drag along, and that we would be willing to trust you with our whole heart, mind, and soul, knowing that you do all things well, and that you do all things for your glory and for the edification of the church and for the confirmation of each of us into the image of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that as we pray these things, that you are the sovereign Lord, and that you are the one who sets up kings and rulers, and you are the one who brings them down. And as we, your people, look around us and we see the things that are going on, we ask that we would pray and that we would understand that we are to be light, that we are to be salt. And as light, we are to reveal to people the truth, and as salt, we are to preserve those things that bring honor and glory to you. We ask that you would give us wisdom and discernment, that we would know what it is that we ought to do and those things that we can support, those things that we cannot support. We ask that you would grant us the grace to speak the truth in love, and that we would have the ability to give grace to the hearer when we speak. We ask, Lord, as we pray these things, that you would work in each of us, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son, and that we would look forward to standing before him, knowing that when we see him, we will see him as he is, because we will like him. And we thank you and praise you for these promises. And we ask that you would bless us, that we may pour out your blessing upon others. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have any children? Any children? Oh, good. There we go. So how have you ladies been? Yeah. I missed you last week. I didn't see you. So here we are. Do you remember a few weeks ago we talked about Jesus as our shepherd? Do you remember that? Yeah. Now, this morning I want you to think of two things about what a shepherd does. Remember, the shepherd takes care of sheep. So what do you think a shepherd, what's the first thing a shepherd might do for his sheep?
Take care of
the
sheep.
Yeah, he takes care of them. And what is one of the most important things he has to do when he takes... watch over them. Okay. Feed them. Yeah, he has to feed them. Okay. How do you feed sheep? You lead them from pasture to pasture to pasture. Okay? Because when the sheep are on one pasture, they eat everything that they can eat, and there's nothing left. And the grass becomes brown, and they have to move to green pasture, and they have to keep moving. So the shepherd leads his sheep from pasture to pasture. So let's think about what Jesus does. Okay? I grew up in Philadelphia. Okay? Where am I now? Am I in Philadelphia?
No.
Where am I? What town am I in? Where do you live? Sumas. Okay? You know how far away Philadelphia is? It's about 3,000 miles. Who do you think brought me from Philadelphia to here? the shepherd, the good shepherd. He led me from where I grew up through lots of different things, and then he led me to be here. He led me from pasture to pasture. What else does a shepherd do? What do you think he does with lambs? Your lambs are baby sheep. What do you think he does with baby sheep? Do you think he picks them up? Do you think he rocks them? Takes care of them? And the answer is yes, he does. Okay, he takes care of them. Just like a mom takes care of her babies. You know, I just went to see my grandson, and he's about yay tall, and he fits right on my arm, and he's very good at high-fiving and playing with my glasses and things like that, but he sits right there on my arm. So I hold him, and a shepherd will hold lambs. He gathers them to his bosom. So Jesus, as your shepherd and as my shepherd, he gathers us and holds us and protects us and defends us. Okay, you think you remember that? Now, I want you to stay here just a minute, okay? Because Cheryl Jackson and I are going to teach you a song. And we're going to teach everybody this song. And nobody has to stand up but Cheryl and me, okay? And if you care to look at the words, it comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. And we're going to be singing the King James. So, but I wrote them in your hymnal. I wrote them in your bulletin. So you should see there. But we're going to teach you this, and hopefully we can all sing it. And eventually, someday, this congregation can sing it in a round. Okay? Won't that be fun?
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, I can't hear you guys.
Here we go.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Once more.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, children.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses beginning with verse 1, going down to verse 10. And you know from the sermon title that we're going to be dealing with rest. Sabbath, which people use, is the Hebrew word for rest. So the title of the sermon is redundant. The sermon title is Rest, Rest. Okay, Sabbath rest. So let's read, I will read Hebrews 4, 1 through 10. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Father, once again we ask that you would open our eyes, that we would see Jesus Christ, and that you would illumine our hearts and minds by the light of your word, and that we would be taken captive by the power of your love. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. There are lots of ink been spent on the discussion of the Sabbath. And it's tragic because it's been divisive between God's people. And part of the problem is that people don't understand that when we read the Old Testament and we read the law, that is a shadow of the reality. And if you want to turn to Leviticus chapter 23, you will see that convocations, that's a word that is used in the Old Testament, are times of rest. And if you read Leviticus 23, you will see that there's the seventh day is a rest, and then you have the Passover, which is also involves a day of rest, then the Feast of First Fruits, which also involves a day of rest, then you have the Feast of Weeks, which also involves a day of rest, then you have the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, all which involve a day of rest. And in some of these feasts, the day of rest could be on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Sunday or even Saturday. And these days of rest are plural. And the concept of rest is singular as well as plural throughout the Old Testament. And then you have the rest of the land every 7 years. And every 7 years you are to not do anything with your land. You're supposed to let it rest. That's the Sabbath year. Then the 50th year, you're supposed to have another Sabbath rest because that's the year of Jubilee. So after year 48, your land rests for 2 years. number 49, which is 7, and then 50. And there are people today who think that you need to worship on the Sabbath, and they are called seventh day, whatever. And then you have people who think that we need to go back and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Weeks, and they think that you need to go back and celebrate all these. They're all missing something. This is a shadow of the reality. And the writer of the Hebrews is concerned about the reality. And in writing about the reality, he uses the Psalm 95. He quotes it three times or more. And he's always referring to the people in the wilderness who refused to enter into the promised land. God had promised them that they would enter into the promised land, and so they sent spies out, and the spies came back, and they had not a very good report. And they complained about the giants, and they complained about all these things that they saw that they just couldn't deal with. In spite of the load of grapes they brought back, which two people had to carry on a pole, they didn't talk about that. They only talked about the giants and all the other problems. And they ignored the promises of God, except for Caleb and Joshua. So that whole generation, mind you, it's the generation that saw 10 plagues, went through the Red Sea, who left Egypt very, very wealthy. They'd lived through all of this. And they come to Kadesh Barnea and they send in their spies and they go, nah, we can't do this. And God is angry. So the writer to the Hebrews talks about that in chapter 3. And now we come to chapter 4. It says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, you and I are not on the border of Canaan. What's God in view here? He's got something else in view. He's got the Sabbath rest of God in view. The promise of entering into that rest which God has for us. And he uses the word, it says in the NIV, let us be careful. The Greek there should be, let us not fear. The fear there has to do with loving your soul. Do you love your soul? It's the same idea that Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 12. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Do you love your soul? Are you so loving of your soul that you avoid and shun things that are hurtful to your soul? Do you avoid and shun those things that you know are contrary to the character of God? Do you guard your soul and your affections? That's the proper fear that you are to have. And you have care. And you are jealous of your love for God. And the writer here says, you need this, lest you be found to have fallen short of what? Of God's rest. Have you fallen short of God's rest? You see, the good news was proclaimed to that generation in the wilderness. That's what the writer says. We also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. What is the good news? How was the good news proclaimed in 40 years of wandering? Or before that, from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea? How was the good news proclaimed? Well, first of all, it was proclaimed at Sinai. Okay? Exodus 20, verse 1. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. There's the gospel. I am your God. And this is what I have done for you. That's the gospel. But everything in Exodus and Leviticus, speaking of the law and the tabernacle and temple, is also the gospel. The high priest is a shadow of Christ. The tabernacle is a shadow of what you and I are to be. We are to be the temple of God. The priesthood, what about the priesthood? They're a shadow of who you and I are. It's all a shadow. What about all those sacrifices? They're a shadow of the great sacrifice at the cross. The one sacrifice that satisfies all the demands of all the other sacrifices. The gospel was proclaimed. Just as it's been proclaimed to us. But the gospel failed. And it failed because they did not have faith. The gospel has no value, none, unless you respond to the gospel in faith. No value. And that's what the writer says. The message they heard was of no value because they joined the message with their faith. Faith produces obedience. That's what the relationship of works is to faith. Faith produces the obedience. If I believed God that we should enter Canaan and conquer it, then I would cross the Jordan. But I have to believe God before I pick my foot up to move forward across the Jordan. Caleb and Joshua were prepared to do that. The rest of the nation said no. So God was angry with them. And he says, they shall never enter my rest. Never. The writer then refers to God and his works of the creation of the world. And he points to the fact that on the seventh day, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 or 4, on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. What works did he rest from? Did he rest from providence? Did he rest from redemption? What did he rest from? He rested from creation. All his works, he looked at creation and says, it's all good. It's all good. I'm done. But then, as you progress through the rest of the scriptures, we see God working in providence. He works through redemption. The great work of redemption follows creation. Creation is the work of God's finger. Redemption is the work of God's arm, which is the greater work. What did God rest from? Creation. And the writer says, God rested from all his works. And again, the passage above, he says, again, God says, they shall never enter my rest. Never. This crowd who gathered at Kadesh Barnea to look into the land of promise said, no, we won't do this. No. So God, they shall never enter my rest. But the writer continues, therefore, it remains for some to enter that rest. Who is the others? Who are they? Well, as we read the rest of it, we'll see that the rest who enter God's rest are all of those who are subsequent to that generation who respond to God in faith. All of them. That will include us. We're part of that rest. We are some who are able to enter that rest. And again, the writer reminds us, since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go because of their disobedience. They had the good news. God had spoken. And he told them, the land of Canaan is yours. And the land of Canaan in the Old Testament is a shadow of heaven. Hey, remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of the reality. Paul mentions that in Colossians chapter 2. He reminds us that new moons, holy days, meat, drink, Sabbath days are a shadow of things to come. But the reality, the body is in Christ. So the writer continues and he says, but God has set a certain day, calling it today. For us, that would be today, June 6th, 2021. Today. Okay? Today is always today, no matter what generation you're in. That's the amazing thing about the scriptures. Because in David, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's applicable to you. It's applicable to me. It's applicable to my grandson. And it will be applicable to anybody who cares to pay attention tomorrow. It's today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And that's what David picks up in Psalm 95. And the writer points then to Joshua. And he says, Joshua, if Joshua had given them rest, did Joshua give them rest when they went into the promised land? Remember, Canaan is a shadow of heaven. What did Canaan bring them? Warfare, sin, a failure of the theocracy. It was of no value. That's what it brought. And Joshua did not give them rest. He did not give them rest because the shadow can't give the reality. And so Joshua could not give them rest. And so God, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day. But Joshua did not give them rest. So God speaks of another day. Another day where there'll be rest. That other day ultimately came in the person of Christ. See, the book of Hebrews is all about the superiority of Christ. And the book of Hebrews is all about the reality. How the Old Testament gives us these shadows, and then the shadows then are explained in the person of Christ. Now, if you've ever done this experiment, I don't pay much attention now, but when I was a boy, we used to like to see if we could step on each other's head, shadows. And early in the morning, the shadow was very, very long. And if you did it at noon, the shadow was very, very short. And sometimes when we played that game at noon, we got kind of difficult. But we would do it. Well, if you read the Old Testament, there's some of this shadow business, like with the sun. As you stand and the sun falls on you early in the morning, it's a long shadow. And at noon, it's a short shadow. Well, portions of the Old Testament is like that long shadow. And you sit there and you go, what is this the shadow of? I'll give you one instance and you can play with it. In Genesis, Dinah, daughter of Judah, is raped and her brothers kill everybody who in the family that she was raped. And you have to ask yourselves, how is this a shadow in the New Testament? You can play with that. That's a long one. Okay? But a short one is King David. That's a short one. Okay? It's obvious, okay, that King David is a man for God's own heart. He's a righteous man. He confesses sin, and that's a short shadow. And the writer here in Hebrews says, if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Joshua did not give them rest. Canaan was not the place of rest. Canaan was not the heaven. And we'll get to it later, but in Hebrews chapter 11, we find that Abraham looked for a city whose author and builder was God. Abraham? So he was looking for an eternal home that wasn't human? The answer is yes. Abraham was looking for that by faith. So the writer then closes. He says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The Sabbath rest for the people of God is explained. Anyone who enters God's rest rests from their works. What works are we talking about? Well, we're talking about things like law keeping. All those people who think that we are to keep the Sabbath to merit God's pleasure are wrong. There is a denomination of people who believe that you have to keep the Sabbath, the seventh day, because Jesus is doing investigation. And if we do the if we're keeping the Sabbath, then we'll pass the investigation. They're wrong. There are people who think that we need to gather together every Sunday in order to please God. We please God when we gather together, but it's not legal. It's voluntary, and as a matter of fact, if you want to gather together with the people of God at 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning, I'll be there, okay? The object here for the people of God is to gather together. It's not a legal thing. It's a thing of desire. It's a thing of wanting to come together, desiring the fellowship, to stimulate one another to good and love and to good deeds, to encourage one another. It's not about satisfying the law. The law has been satisfied. And if you want to enter into the rest of God, you need to enter in by faith. God has spoken. What did Jesus say? I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. So when we look at this discussion about Sabbath, we have to understand that God is putting that shadow, all of those various Sabbaths. Some people claim there are 14 different Sabbaths in the Old Testament. I can only count 10. I haven't found the other four. I found 10. But there are 10, at least, different Sabbaths. And the one that everybody seems to remember is the seventh day. No, there's 9 more. What are you going to do with those? But they're all a shadow. They're all a shadow of what God has for us in Christ. We read at the very beginning where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are laden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. Do you want rest? You need to believe God. You need to believe Him. Here are some things I suggest that you need to meditate on. Number one, He loves you. He loves you. How do you know He loves you? Christ died. Just look at the cross. Christ died for you. He loves you. What else has God promised? As His child, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never will He leave you nor forsake you. What else has He promised? He has promised you eternity in His presence. You are His child. And according to the scriptures, you should be enjoying eternal life now. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that believeth in me shall never die." And then He says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And that's the question, isn't it? Do you believe that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you believe that He loves you? That He loves you deeper and more than you can imagine? Do you understand that God has for you an eternal home where you will have no pain, no sorrow, no grief, no tears? If you understand all this, you can rest. Put your feet up, enjoy life. Life is to be enjoyed in Christ. And we're told by Paul, whatever we do and say, we're to do all for the glory of God. You can't do all for the glory of God if you're not resting. Can't do it. You need to rest. Don't be like those people on the border of Canaan, looking into this promised land, looking at these huge group of grapes, and saying, "Nope, not for us." You need to enter into the rest of God. Hear His word. Do not harden your heart. Obey. Rejoice. Give thanks. Sing. You are His child. And He loves you. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank You and praise You for that which You have revealed to us. We thank You that all things are in Christ, and that He came to be the propitiation for our sin. We ask that we would be truly those who would believe and enter into rest, that we would delight in knowing You, and that we would understand that we are the apple of Your eye, and that You sustain us, you use us for your glory, and that you are delighted in our presence. And as your prophet says, you sing over us. We ask that we would learn of this, and that we would rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to sing, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear-hating, even clothing stained by corrupt flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forever. Amen.